Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Dear NHL, please do not put games on the trade deadline again, and please, please do not give the Capitals a back-to-back on the trade deadline. Sincerely, DC Media. Boy, were those a crazy couple of days. This is, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. Welcome into another edition of the NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast, and with me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Baba Louie to my quick draw McGraw. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
I don't really know where to start with that. But give me some background. Who's quick draw McGraw?
It's a cartoon. I figured you would know that because it's more your generation than mine.
No.
Okay. Moving on. What we will talk about today, we're of course going to talk about the moves the Capitals did and did not make at the trade deadline. We're going to talk about the moves we liked and didn't like around the NHL, and we will look ahead to the Stadium Series game. First, a few quick notes before we get into everything. First, we will not be having a mailbag pod this week with the trade deadline Stadium Series going on. There was just not a good time to release an extra podcast, let alone record one. So if you sent a question in this week, don't worry. We will get to it next week. We still have them. We're just going to wait a week before we answer all of those. Also, someone sent me an email through the podcast about career advice. I have had some email difficulties this week, which led to the majority of my emails getting deleted.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
Explain.
What do you mean?
Like, what happened?
I don't know. I opened up my email, and half my emails were gone. They were just gone. I don't know what happened.
Russian hackers.
I always blame the Russians, unless they are the stars on your hockey team. Sorry about that. I'm not ignoring you, but whoever you are, if you want to send it in again, please feel free, and I will get back to you this time. Now let's move on into some hockey. Tarik, after acquiring defenseman Michael Kempney and Jakub Jerebek, or Jacob, or whatever the heck he wants himself to be called.
It must be Jacob.
It's Jacob. All right, we're going with Jacob. The team decided to stand pat on Monday. General Manager Brian McClellan spoke to the media via a conference call after the deadline had passed. Here are a few of the highlights of what he had to say.
Overall, I thought it was an expensive deadline. I think the fact that New York had some players that, they were shopping and, they were quality players that they drove the price up, and it was hard to pay that price at the end. There's a couple players we would like to add, but, the cost of acquiring those players was pretty high. I mean, are we willing to give up, some of our young forwards and more first-round picks to possibly be a little deeper? At some point, the trade-off was not worth it for us. I mean, last year we did it, and, we got a little, you get into your asset pool, it depletes it a little bit, so I don't think it makes sense to do it year after year. I mean, you got to balance your short and long-term goals here, and it's not like we could add. I mean, it would have been great to add another defenseman, a higher-end defenseman, but the cost was too high in our estimation.
Tarik, were you surprised that the Capitals did not make a move on the trade deadline day?
Yes. I was. I thought they were going to make at least a small move to acquire some depth scoring if they weren't able to land one of the big-name defensemen. But once you saw the prices that were being paid, you could kind of understand why McClellan didn't want to, for the really second straight year, further deplete his pool of assets. I've been torn on this. since the deadline, in the days ahead of the deadline, because part of me wants to see this team load up and continue to advance and try to make a serious Stanley Cup push and address their issues, particularly on the back end, with a big-name player, with a Ryan McDonagh type. The problem with doing something like that is the asking price at this year's deadline. At this year's deadline, you know, there were simply the prices were astronomical.
They were high.
I checked with some people and was told that the cost for a mid to upper level defenseman was a first round pick and two prospects. You want Erik Karlsson? How about Jacob Verana, Andrei Burakovsky, Tom Wilson, and a first round pick? I mean, the asking price was simply too high, and that's why no one ended up making a deal with Ottawa.
Right.
So I feel like they needed to make a move. I was disappointed and surprised they didn't make a move, but I understand why they didn't make a move.
Right.
My feelings on the trade deadline have become legendary ever since I freaked out at Grant Paulson and Brent Johnson on the Capitals Overtime show and yelled at them about it. I hate the vast majority of deadline moves. Usually they don't work, and you've overpaid for something that you're going to have for a month. In this case, the Capitals have no chance unless they upgrade their defense. And we'll have to see how much they did upgrade their defense with Kempney and Urbeck. I think at the very least that is somewhat of an upgrade. We'll just have to see how much. But overall, I understand not making a move. I'm fine with it. I don't know when it became a prerequisite to overpay and make bad moves at the trade deadline in order to win a Stanley Cup. For everyone saying, well, you have to be all in. Yeah, but you can't just be stupid. You can't just throw prospects and players. I mean, look at what it costs to get Ryan McDonagh from New York. It would have been higher than that to get Erik Karlsson. That's why they went to McDonagh, because the price for Karlsson was higher. And yeah, you have to kick the tires on Erik Karlsson. So I'm glad the Caps did, because legitimate superstars rarely become available. So you have to at least see what it will cost. But if you get Karlsson and give up all the pieces that you were talking about, Tark, is your team really better for a playoff run?
At that point, you've girded and bolstered your blue line at the cost of scoring and young scoring. You know, so not only have you hurt your team's roster up front for this year, you've hurt it for years to come by bolstering the back end. I don't think it made sense.
Right.
I don't know if there was another move out there that could have been made to maybe add some speed to that bottom six. That, to me, I think was an opportunity missed as well. But you know what? I think we have to kind of see if Michael Kempney and Jacob Urbeck are able to help them get out of their end a little crisper, a little faster. That's really been their bugaboo the past month. My early expectations are tempered. I look, they're two guys who couldn't crack the lineup with their previous teams. Are they going to be able to come here and be world beaters? I doubt it.
Right.
Can they be better than what was in there? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly more experience, more games under their belt. We shall see. The thing, if you're a Capitals fan, and I understand there was a lot of outrage and disappointed fans out there, it's because you can see the end of the Ovechkin era now. You know, he still has several years left on his contract, but you're much closer to the end than you are to the midpoint or the front. And I think that, you know, some people think that maybe by not going, air quotes, all in and making a desperate move at the deadline, you know, that they didn't do what was required of a team that's, you know, running out of time. The window's closing. I still just don't think that the prices that were being asked, they just weren't reasonable.
They were not reasonable. It did not make sense. The Capitals went all in last year, and what did that give them? And the teams that did make trades, there's no guarantee that those trades pan out. As I said before, a lot of these deadline deals end up not working. So only one team is going to finish the season happy. So we'll have to see. I'm not burying the Caps over what they decided to do and not to do. One thing that did catch my eye, though, Tark, the two rumors, the Caps were in on Erik Karlsson. They were in on Ryan McDonagh. We don't know how far those got. But those are two defensemen who still have some term, who still have a year left on their contract after this season. Does that say anything about where this team is with John Karlsson? Because if you add those players, there's a good chance you wouldn't have been able to afford re-signing John Karlsson.
That is certainly another thing that had to be taken into consideration. If you were going to add a player who had term, you've got still, you know, taking care of Lars Eller kind of gives you a little more cost certainty.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have the big fish out there, which is John Carlson. I think those things are connected, absolutely. And I think by not getting a defenseman with term, I think that you've now kind of boxed yourself in a little bit with Carlson. I mean, I think he's your guy now. Like, you have to find a way to get him re-signed, even if you got to stretch the deal out over 8 years.
Depending on what happens in the playoffs, because, you know,
yeah,
if they get crushed in the first round, then then all of a sudden we're looking at a very different offseason.
It could be a very different offseason, no doubt.
All right, we're going to talk about some of the other moves that were made around the NHL right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, let's look at some of the bigger moves that were made around the NHL at the trade deadline. I think the blockbuster move that was made was Tampa Bay's trade with the New York Rangers. They received the defenseman Ryan McDonagh and JT Miller in exchange for a first-round pick, a conditional second-round pick, two prospects, and forward Vladislav Namestnikov. That is a hefty price. Tarek, what did you think about that move?
I think that the Lightning are in the position that the Capitals were in last year. No pun intended, they've caught lightning in a bottle here.
That was terrible.
But look, this is a team that has been blowing away the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And has been for most of the year. I know the Capitals got them early. That was a very good game. All that said, they do have an opportunity here, and I think they sense that opportunity. And when you look at the top four now on that Lightning team, you're talking about Hedman, you're talking about Strahlman, you're talking about McDonagh, you're talking about Sergachev, you're talking about after that, you're talking about Girardi. I mean, you have some legitimate players back there on the back end. I mean, so not only do you have – are you loaded up on the back end? You're also kind of – you've bulletproofed yourself against injury. So if you do lose a Strahlman, you now still have a really, really – maybe the best in the league back end. So I feel like they believe this is their year. And they made a move that, like the Capitals, this season does not end in a Stanley Cup for the Lightning, they have depleted their asset pool significantly. Namestnikov is a good player.
Yeah,
he is.
They
gave up some picks. They gave up some prospects. I mean, now you're talking about some serious buyer's remorse if you don't get the job done. So it's almost like, but you have to get the job done now, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, if you don't, then you just go, well, we went all in, we tried, and that's why we aren't going to be good in a couple of years.
It's one of those moves that you look – it's one of the moves that I hate about – this is why I hate the trade deadline. Tampa Bay was the best team in the league. Did they need to get a guy like Ryan McDonagh? Now, on paper, they look much better. But they gave up Vladislav Namestnikov, who was playing on their top line. Now, I get it. It's a little bit of forward thinking. This was a guy who was a restricted free agent. And with the star power they have on Tampa, paying those players becomes difficult. So maybe they were looking ahead a little bit and saying, there's no way we can really afford to pay this guy what he's worth next year. So maybe a little bit of forward thinking there. Yeah, you look at that top four, it's daunting, but it was they gave up a lot for a player that, I mean, they were the best team before the trade deadline. They remain the best team after the trade deadline. And as you said, it's Stanley Cup or bust now, but I mean, they had a roster that was Stanley Cup. They could have won the Stanley Cup before this. So it's a lot to give up for a player who, I guess, makes them better, but I don't think shoots them up so far that they are untouchable. I mean, you add Erik Karlsson to this roster, you can start engraving Tampa Bay's names on that Stanley Cup right now. Ryan McDonagh, great player, fantastic defenseman, probably one of the top five defensemen, maybe top 10 defenseman in the entire league, but a move that I'm not sure Tampa Bay had to make?
Well, I mean, I think also what they were doing was they were bulletproofing themselves against injury.
That's true.
You know, you are going to lose a defenseman, or at least a defenseman is going to get an injury that's going to deplete him. It's going to make him not as effective. And now you have you've got some room to spare. I mean, you have some talent to spare. And there is something to be said for bulletproofing yourself against the player. You're going to lose a player along the way as these games get more difficult, and once you start getting deeper into the playoffs.
Fair enough. from a divisional team in St. Louis who I thought was still going for it for the playoffs. I mean, this is a team that's just barely out of the playoff run. And they give up a piece like Paul Stastny. That took me completely by surprise.
Didn't see it coming, but I think Winnipeg is another team that wasn't expected to be as good as they are right now. I think people thought the coach was going to be on the hot seat early on in the season and they were going to underperform, and they've kind of taken the league by storm. I mean, they're getting better goaltending from Hellebuck than I think anyone thought they were going to get. I think they're a sneaky good team. They're maybe a team that's a little off the radar to a certain extent, but they've got some great pieces, man. I've always been a big Blake Wheeler fan. Scheifele's turning into a heck of a player. I think that there are a handful of teams out there, and I think Winnipeg's one of them, that looked around and were like, you know what? We might have something here.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't let this slip. You know, I always point Capitals fans back to, you know, I talk to former coaches and other people who've been with this organization for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people point to that first year with Bruce Boudreau mm-hmm. as maybe their best chance to win a Stanley Cup, 07-08, where they went from last place to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they lost on a penalty in overtime of Game 7. There are still some people, Ole Kolzig, who, you know, they feel like that was their biggest missed opportunity. That team caught lightning in a bottle. I mean, they just got hot at the right time. And had they gotten by the Flyers, the pathway was starting to open up a little bit.
Right. A team that made a lot of moves that I almost universally didn't like was the Boston Bruins. Boston Bruins was a team that at the beginning of the season I didn't think would make the playoffs. They've clearly found something in their chemistry there. They're playing like one of the best teams in the NHL. And so, of course, they decided to mess with that chemistry by adding Rick Nash, who doesn't play all that well in the playoffs, and Brian Gionta, who had 0 points in an Olympic tournament against non-NHL talent. I'm very confused by what Boston did at the deadline.
Again, another team that has arrived a year or two earlier than management might have expected, and I think teams are now realizing that you can't always take the steady, slow approach. When you feel like you've got something, when you feel like you've earned an opportunity and you're starting to trend in that direction late in the season, and the Bruins have been nails since about early December. They have been one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league besides Vegas, since the holidays. I think they're another team that's girding up for a Stanley Cup run. You know, Rick Nash, sure, he doesn't have great playoff numbers, but he's a reliable player. He can also be a very good defensive forward. So I think, you know, having him, he's a versatile player. That's going to help that lineup. Nick Holden is a number five, number six, that I actually thought would have been a good piece to add here in Washington.
Yeah, I did think about that. But the price, going back to the prices, prices that New York was able to get for the pieces that they sold off, man, New York did themselves, they did well at this trade deadline to jumpstart their rebuild in a big, big way.
I found it interesting that they were able to advertise the fact that they were going to sell off, and they did better than you know, right, they probably expected to. It normally works the other way. When you kind of wave the white flag, teams kind of take advantage of you to a certain extent because they know what position you're in, right?
Yeah.
You kind of lose a little leverage. It worked the other way for the Blue Shirts. Which I found surprising. It's not surprising that they kind of cratered since they announced that.
Right.
One other thing I have found interesting about the deadline, and, you know, the Capitals, of course, played in Columbus, was there was a palpable – I was there in Columbus – energy that the Blue Jackets gained from the moves. You know, Ian Cole showed up around 4 o'clock, 4:30 on game day, drove over from Pittsburgh. He actually never went to Ottawa. You could just see, like, it gave everyone in that building, everyone in the locker room, it gave them a lift. And when the 3 o'clock passed and no moves were made for the Capitals, I got the sense that maybe there was a little bit of air out of the balloon. And maybe they were a little let down. Maybe they were expecting something and nothing happened, and they were kind of like, all right, I guess it's us, boys. You know, and yeah, there was nothing there. And I feel like those two teams kind of going in different directions in terms of emotional you know, and spirit and just kind of energy that night, I think that that might have played a little role in the 5-1 defeat.
That's fair. And
the Blue Jackets, home or away, are not four goals better than the Capitals.
That's fair. That's something that I think the management may have to have a sit down in that locker room and tell the team.
But it also gets back to what you said before, which is the trade deadline should be a day of no games.
Yes.
It really should be.
Oh, my goodness.
They should just find one of those Sundays when there's like one or two games going on around the league or whatever it is and make it that day.
Yeah.
Or Monday sometimes, you know, where there's just like that one game of the night. Just move that game to Tuesday and have that as a – because I was in the dressing room that morning in Columbus, and, you know, the players, you know, they'll give you the lip service. Ah, we're professionals. We've been through this. It's not a big deal. But then you find a couple guys, and, you know, Braden Holtby and Oshie were like, yeah, sure, we were talking about it at breakfast. Everyone's a little nervous. Everyone's a little concerned. Everyone thinks, you know, they're not tradable until you get that phone call, you know, and it's You know, I think Oshie even said it. He said, "Depend, you know, how comfortable you are on that day getting ready for the game is like what your contract says. If you've got 7 years left like him, you're pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
If you're a UFA, you're looking at your phone instead of taking a nap, instead of focusing, instead of, you know, doing your routine getting ready for a game, you're kind of wondering if something might happen."
All right, Ty, real quick, New Jersey and Columbus both added. What did you think of those two teams?
Well, I like what New Jersey did. Columbus made the move I think they had to make, which was to kind of shore up that you know, 4, 5, 6 spot there with Ian Cole. I think he's really, really going to help them. Letestu, you know, okay. Cole was the big add for them.
Poor Taylor Choyney.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I talked to him like, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock that day, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to get in. I'm going to play against my own team, all excited. And then Tortorella comes into the room at 5:40 to address the media, and he goes, yeah, Chorney got screwed. Cole just showed up. He's out. I was like, oh, what a heartbreaking move. But, yeah, I would say the teams that made moves that I think are going to benefit them in the division, especially, would be the Flyers, the Penguins, and the Devils. I'm not as concerned about what Columbus did.
That's fair enough. Oh, the one other note was, how's that rebuild going, Vancouver? So they're a team that said, okay, we've known they need to rebuild for years. They said, okay, now we're going to rebuild. They added 0 draft picks at the deadline. They reportedly want to bring back the Sedin twins, and they re-signed Gabranson. So good luck being the exact same team that you were last year. So congratulations.
No idea what they're doing there. And then they re-signed their general manager too.
Yeah, so good luck with that rebuild.
It's been a crazy week, and it's about to get crazier as we speed towards this outdoor game.
That is a good transition. We are going to talk about the Stadium Series game right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. The trade deadline has come and gone, and so now it's time to look forward to Saturday's Stadium Series game between the Caps and Maple Leafs at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. Tarek, I cannot wait for this. What are you excited for when you look ahead to Saturday's game?
Well, I love outdoor games. You know, there are some people out there that go, oh, it's becoming, you know, cliche, passe, whatever. There's been 25 of them. There's kind of played out. I love them. I think they're awesome. I think it's pretty cool that it's going to be at a service academy for the first time. I was out there when they were first putting up the boards and everything. And it's not like a big cavernous football stadium or baseball stadium. You're in a 34,000 seat kind of small college type stadium. So you're going to have, if you're lucky enough to have tickets to the game, you're going to have a great view. There's not a bad seat in the house. It's at night. I think putting it under lights makes these games even better. You know, I was fortunate to cover the Capitals against the Penguins at Heinz Field several years ago. And that game was scheduled for the afternoon, but it ended up getting moved because of rain tonight. Yep. And I'm sure Sidney Crosby didn't like that. But, you know, people always talk about how, like, the shadows and the reflections kind of might have caused him to be a little unawares when Dave Steckel came, you know, cruising through there. But I think everything, NASCAR races, football games, everything to me looks better under the lights. I like night games. and so I think it's going to be awesome. And I get to play in the alumni fantasy game.
Yeah, that's going to be
Sunday.
Something.
Yeah, I actually, as we're recording this podcast, I'm sitting here dripping in sweat because I just played. I just played in a hockey game, basically a pickup game here at Kettler for the first time, and I think it's my first competitive game in 18 years. And already my quads, my groins, and my ankles are killing me, but it was a blast.
Alan May is going to crush you into those boards so hard. It's going to be phenomenal.
I'm going to have a little conversation with Ivan LeBray before the thing begins and say, hey, I know we're here for fun. We're not going to be matching lines, but please keep me off the ice when that insane dude is cruising around out there.
You know, the thing, I went to both Winter Classic games, and I was sitting in the second to last row in Heinz Field. And it was, I could see everything, but it was pretty far away. You don't realize how much smaller a rink is in a football field until you see it on top of it. I could see everything, but it was a good distance away. And then in the game at Nationals Park, I had better seats, but I was so low that the board sort of got, you couldn't see everything because the board sort of blocked your line of sight when they were too close to the side you were on. That's what makes this game so exciting. This is a smaller stadium. It's going to be more intimate, and everyone's going to have a great, great view. This is very exciting. This is the perfect venue for this. Not the gigantic stadiums where you can hardly see, or where it's too close up and you won't be able to see anything if you're in one of the better seats. Everyone should have a great line of sight to this game. That's what makes it exciting. I know a lot of people, as you said, think we've jumped the shark on this, but the good news is that the Chicago Blackhawks actually are not playing in this outdoor game, one of the few outdoor games that does not include the Chicago Blackhawks. So that should provide a little bit, you know, there should be some newness there, keep that from getting stale. But
yeah, it's certainly a new matchup. The you know, and obviously is a replay of the first round last year, which was a great series. Unfortunately, it looks like Austin Matthews is not going to be available for the game.
Austin Matthews
shoulder
will not
injury.
Be there.
So that puts a little damper on it. But
yep, for sure.
Maybe that'll help Ovi score a hat trick to get to 600 on national television in the outdoor game. How awesome would that be?
Oh, that would be so great. And I've got to say, I know there were some people who were worried about those jerseys when they first came out. I've seen a few of those up close. They look pretty damn good to me. I like those a lot.
I actually own one now because that's what we're wearing in the alumni game, the fantasy game. It's awesome. Unfortunately, mine's a size 56, and mm-hmm. I'm a little fatter than a 56. I got to return it and get a 58, I think. It was a little snug. Mm-hmm. And when you're breathing really heavily in a snug jersey that's now soaking wet with sweat and melted ice, it was not good.
It never is with you, Tarek.
Nope.
Anyway, if you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. As I said, no mailbag pod this week, but we will, of course, continue those next week after Tarek and I get some sleep, finally. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. I wouldn't tell you every week if it didn't matter, so please, if you are listening to this podcast, and if you like it, take the time to subscribe and give us a good rating and review. It really does help. That helps spread the word. It helps get the podcast more advertising. It helps spread it to various iTunes charts and things like that. So it really does help us out. The trade deadline is behind us. The Stadium Series is ahead of us. I cannot wait for that game. It is going to be something else. And, of course, you can get all the coverage with NBC Sports Washington and on NBCSportsWashington.com. For Tarek Elbashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.
See ya.